US President Joe Biden said weapons would begin flowing to Ukraine within hours after he signed off the $60 billion aid package for Ukraine. This will give Ukraine a chance of winning, said President Zelensky at the weekend. Ukraine has been under huge pressure on the front lines and with its cities and infrastructure under attack by air. President Biden said this deal means new weapons and equipment to Ukraine to help them fight off Russian advances.
For months, while MAGA Republicans are blocking aid, Ukraine has been running out of artillery shells and ammunition. Meanwhile, Putin's friends keep keeping him well supplied. With all this support, Russia has ramped up its airstrikes against Ukrainian cities and critical infrastructure. In the next few hours, literally the few hours, we're going to begin sending in equipment to Ukraine for air defense munitions, for artillery, for rocket systems and armored vehicles. You know, this package is literally an investment, not only in Ukraine's security, but in Europe's security, in our own security.
US President Joe Biden. Luke Harding, foreign correspondent with The Guardian, is on the line. Luke, President Zelensky of Ukraine said at the weekend this aid package, $60 billion, that will give Ukraine a chance of winning. A chance? Only a chance? How much pressure are they under?
Yeah, good morning. Well, I mean, the picture has been pretty grim for the last 6 months. I mean, I've been to the front line fairly regularly, and what we've seen is the Russians moving forward, village by village, field by field, a kilometre here, a kilometre there. And the problem for Ukraine is that they've been struggling to kind of keep the Russians out. And meanwhile, the east of the country is just being pulverised. Refugees are fleeing. And I think really the worst thing is Russian aviation. Russian planes are dropping these massive bombs, 500 kilogram bombs, which just obliterate everything. And without help from the Americans, the Ukrainian troops I've talked to, they've got no answer to this. But really, this is an enormous morale booster for Ukraine. It feels like Ukraine can certainly survive this year, and the hope will be that they may be in a position next year to counterattack and to start pushing the Russians out.
So let's delve into that a little. This $60 billion aid, what are they getting? And even with that, will Ukraine continue to be outgunned and facing larger forces?
I mean, there's no doubt that the Russian army is still bigger. The Russians have got more tanks, they have more infantry, they have more artillery. Some of the units, the Ukrainian units I was talking to, were saying that they were able to fire one shell for every six, seven, even ten shells that the Russians were firing. And I think this package will kind of equalize that. What we also learned last night was that the Americans have already sent something called a TACMS, which is a long-range missile system, which Ukraine has used twice already to smash up a Russian airfield in occupied Crimea, to hit another target in the occupied port of Berdyansk. And so really, Ukraine will hope that momentum will swing in its direction and it'll be able to kind of knock out high-value Russian targets. But I think the upshot of all this is it's going to be a very long war. I mean, I spoke yesterday to Dmytro Kuleba, the Ukrainian foreign minister, and I said, what did you think about this package? And he said, hallelujah. Hallelujah was his answer. But he also cautioned that this does not mean that the war is over or that Ukraine can easily win in the next few months.
And is this the last big military aid deal Joe Biden is going to be able to get through the House? And what happens if Donald Trump wins in November?
Well. That's the big question. We asked that to Mr. Kuleba as well, the foreign minister, and he said, "Look, we've been through so much since 2014, when Russia, of course, annexed Crimea and began a conflict in the east of the country, that we're ready for everything." And he said, "Look, you know, we're not making special preparations for Donald Trump." He pointed out that President Zelensky has invited Trump to visit Kyiv. But I think what's notable and a bit surprising over the really busy events of the last few days is that Trump has not publicly condemned the deal. I think he came under a lot of pressure from Ukraine skeptics in his own party, from what you might call a kind of pro-Russian caucus. Mm-hmm. But actually, he didn't denounce it. I mean, of course, he's been sitting in court every day, but nonetheless, he hasn't spoken out against it.
And we saw the UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak and German Chancellor Scholz meeting yesterday. Can Europe fill in the military gap in US aid if it starts drying up?
Well, that's the huge question. And I think there's some, I'm in Kiev, and there's some exasperation here that the Europeans have not stepped up rapidly enough. I mean, they have, of course, they've helped, and Germany is a even bigger supplier of military and economic aid than the UK. I think it's the US, Germany, and the UK in that order. But actually, in terms of investing, building new factories, new production lines, Europe has been a bit slow, and the Ukrainians are acutely aware of that and keep on pressing on them to do more.
From what you're saying, then, it sounds like the best Ukraine can hope for is to fight a defensive war through 2024 and hopefully be in a position to be on the front foot, launch some kind of offensive in 25.
I think that's right. I mean, floating above all this, of course, is the question of negotiations. There are some people on the, you know, American kind of hard right, and also on the what you might call the kind of the sort of far left, who are saying that the Ukrainians should sit down, negotiate with Putin, you know, cut some kind of deal, stop the bloodshed. But I think the reality is, I've been here since before this full-scale invasion, is that Putin's war plan is unchanged. He seeks to subjugate Ukraine, to capture as much territory as possible, and to turn it back into a Russian province. I mean, he says Ukraine is literally Russia. So it's hard to see what kind of settlement could be agreed, what talks would be about. And you know, the people I talk to here say that the only moment that Vladimir Putin would negotiate is when his forces are close to collapse, and for now that's really a long way away.
Luke Harding, foreign correspondent with The Guardian. Thank you.